up with growing spiritually again. But we need to grow spiritually through awareness. So we're going to, now I can go to where I need to, because for some reason it didn't pick up my title. So let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get cranked up here once again. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we ask once again, Lord, you be with us. Open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, help us to take it in that it's from you. Lord, it's not just me talking. It's not just reading the Bible. It is from you. And Lord, we thank you for that. We ask, Lord, now that you would touch our hearts with your word. And we thank you in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So, as we continue this study, and really it's a maturing in our Christian walk. But let me ask you a question. What's the most fearful, and you don't have to answer it, but what's the most fearful thing in your life? What do you fear the most? Think on that a minute. You know, maybe it could even be facing you right now. But we got to think in these terms. It may be our ungodly culture, because we do have an ungodly culture. Amen. It could be, you know, all that's around us. Could be the thought of world war. I mean, we've heard about, they talking about World War III. You know, and that's not going to be any fun. But let's get a little closer home. Maybe it could be a health issue. It could be maybe financial. Might even be your job. I don't know. It could be a kid, could be a spouse. But when all these things bother you, we need to remember some scriptures. You ought to, honestly, some of them you might not even try to get it memorized so that you can use it when on the spur of the moment. But I used to carry one around all the time. I had this one scripture that I'd just keep with me all the time because it helped me. And so I'd keep it in my wallet. And I'd pull it out, read it, and then I'd go on. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" I mean, think about that last statement there. If God's for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
And really, you could even word that, if God's for you, if he's on your side, if you and the Lord's walking together, what's it matter what they think or say?
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
That's right.
It's really only what God says. You know, what's the old saying, God said it? Yeah, so let me rephrase that for you. I was hoping somebody would quote it just right. God said it. Don't matter whether we believe it or not, it's settled. And we've used it lots of times. God said it, I believe it, and it's settled. But we can leave the I believe off. It don't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it. And if God said it, It's going to be that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's real simple.
Tell it.
But, you know, we worry about a lot of different things. Go over to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. That's not far past Genesis, but it's a few books. Matthew chapter 6. You know, the Lord, he's telling them some things. Well, I flipped my page too far. He's telling them some things here about, you know, laying up treasures for yourselves and things of that nature. You can't serve God and mammon. But he says in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." How many in here can actually change anything about your life? Really, we can't. I mean, I'm talking about my life. I'm not going to die next week. I'm going to hang on about 3 more months. It don't work that way.
No.
You know, I'm going to make the pain go away. I ain't going to make no pain go away. Matter of fact, he goes on down because he said, verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" You can put some boots on. When I was a kid, they had them platform shoes, and you really wasn't 5 foot. You were 5'1" now. You know, and you tried to learn how to walk with them things. But verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap." How many of you been seeing birds out working? They ain't really working. They just doing what they do. These little hummingbirds around here, little ungrateful dudes, they wait till all the blooms come out and then they go steal the juice. You know, they don't work for that. They've never done it. They didn't plant the seed. You know, I had a bird feeder. I'm thinking about getting me another one. But I had a bird feeder. And them dudes will eat you out of house and home. You ain't got a bird in your yard, but you put seeds in it. And birds come from all over the place. They communicate. Hey, Fred, come down here. Jim's done put some seeds out. Why work for it, dude? You ain't got to go messing around in the park. Come on, it's in a little feeder. You know, honestly, they don't even gather and store it. Yeah. They don't even store it up because they know that, listen, they know birds are smarter. Now, this ain't saying much. Most bird heads are about like that, maybe.
That's right.
And how big do you figure the brain is? But they know that God's going to take care of them.
Amen.
I mean, honestly, but we don't. We worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, and heck, you don't even know if you're going to live till tomorrow.
That's right.
And that's what he said. He says, "Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Do we really think God does not love us more than the birds? I mean, birds are a dime a dozen. You know, and the animals, these little ungrateful rabbits. When we had a full-time irrigation system, they caused me grief. We didn't have just two or three. Oh, no, you come over here and look like roaches. Rabbits everywhere. Why? Because they could chew that little hose out there and get water. And I'd come over and it'd be shh, and I got to fix them all, and then 2 or 3 days later, you know. Listen, God loves us more than he does the rabbits. And the little cottontails, they're cute. Miss Brenda's watching them yesterday out the door, and they run around out there, you know. They taste good, too. But anyway, yeah, they ain't bad. You see, we worry about a lot of things when, listen, God cares more for us than he does these animals. And these birds, he takes care of us. I hadn't went without any meals that I know of. I should have, but you see, when we give in to fear, though, what we're really saying is that we're powerless. Listen, the only reason that you would be powerless, to be honest with you, I'm going to say two reasons. One is because you don't know the Lord's your Savior.
Amen.
Yet you've never trusted God, and therefore I'm going to tell you, yes, you're powerless. Yes, you do not have any hope. But if you do know the Lord is your Savior, then honestly, we're not powerless. We may be lacking in power because of our walk and our attitude with God. But if we're a child of God, we have at our beck and call, to be honest with you, I hate to put it that way, but it is, we can stop at any given time and pray, knowing that the Lord knows what's best for us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, now, we may not think it's what's best for us.
Right.
Think about it. Anything ever happened to you, or you ever prayed for something, and it just didn't turn out like you thought it should have? See, there was the problem. We thought it should have.
Yeah.
Who are we to ask God? Who are we to tell God, well, you shouldn't do this, and God, you shouldn't have done that? Listen, God knows best.
Yes, he does.
I'm in the hospital one time, and little young teenage girl, she has a baby. Well, it died. I mean, within hours. And in a sense, you ask yourself, you're like, why did you allow that to happen? But we don't know what he was saving that baby from.
That's right.
We have no idea.
Amen.
Man, it could have been a whole lot worse down the road.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to use this. Brother John passed away several weeks ago. John Ellis. Now, he wasn't quite in his mind because of dementia. But do you realize that Sister Shirley did not know that he had died? She had no idea. And then she died. But she still had no idea. They haven't told her yet, because if they had have told her, but she had been kind of asking where he was at, and they just kind of went around it. But if they had have told her, listen, she'd have fell apart. They said she'd have went nuts. See, God protected her from what the outcome would have been. Now, we don't like to see that, but it's true. You know, so we got to remember, when we ask the Lord, we always need to say, but Lord, it's your will. Because he knows. He knows what's around the corner.
We don't.
Now, and we can go boldly to the throne of grace. We can go boldly anywhere we need to, because Hebrews 13:5 says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So we know he's with us whatever we're doing. So as we're growing spiritually, and we're going through all of these things that we've covered, and I didn't write them all down, but growing spiritual awareness, we need to realize a lot of it. Well, let me change the title real quick. Of course, it can just be growing spiritually by awareness, but it's not just spiritual awareness. It's awareness of everything around us.
Amen.
And we need to be there. You see, we should be aware of our surroundings, but also of the times which we live.
Yes.
One, we should be aware. We should be watching for the Lord Jesus. Because he could come back. Well, yeah, he's going to come back because of everything going on. But he could have come back weeks ago. Nothing has to happen for Jesus to come back. We need to understand that. So we don't need to be watching the times that we're living in and saying, well, it's, I believe he'll come back here. I believe he. No, we're supposed to be ready daily. You see, today's world, we've got a real bad problem going on. Go to Romans. We're going to go through a few scriptures. Go to Romans chapter 11. Or no, it is not. Chapter 13, verse 11. The book of Romans, chapter, what did I say, 13? Verse 11. says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And then he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Yeah. So really, that's our spiritual thing. We need to understand that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, we don't need to be complacent. We don't need to be lukewarm. We don't need to be laid back. Well, we got time and I'll plan. You know, I've been studying Matthew 24 and I've been reading in Revelation. And boy, all of this ain't come to pass yet. Don't wait on all that. You got to be ready now because, listen, if the Lord showed up, are you going to be embarrassed? See, we need to be ready. We need to be spiritually ready for the Lord to come back. That's an important thing. We don't want to be ashamed at His coming. 1 John 2:28, I think. We don't want to be ashamed at His coming. You ever been my dad used to say, now, son, you need to have this done, this done, this done, this done. Time I get home. Well, I had all day to do it. Of course, I'm goofing off. I decided I'd go fishing. You know, or maybe ride my motorcycle, or I might have decided to ride the horse. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, because he bought me this big fancy watch, big old leather band, you know, I had to look cool. Yeah. Big old leather band, I look at it, and I'm like, oh, he's supposed to be home an hour, and the yard ain't cut. Neither is a so-and-so done. The stalls ain't clean. And I am working myself to death, because when he gets home, he's going to like, I gave you this to do. Why didn't you just do it when I ask you to? You know, and I felt bad about it. You know, I don't know how it'd feel when the Lord shows up and He says, you should have, but you didn't. It's going to be a bad feeling. Go to Ephesians, book of Ephesians. Good question. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly. That's watchful. Yes. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now we're adding in a little extra. He says, hey, awake. Don't get, in other words, pull your head out of the sand. Yeah. Arise, get up. Christ will give you light if we'll walk a closer walk with Him. Here it is. Yeah. He'll light us up. We can understand a whole lot more than what we do. We need to be walking circumspectly. That means watchful in more ways than just waiting for Jesus. He says, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Now, here's the key verse to that, or one of the verses that's key. Because the days are evil. We live in evil times. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Lord wants us to go out and speak to others about Him. The Lord wants us to let our light so shine before men to glorify God in heaven. He wants us to do that. He tells us, he said, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled by with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. In other words, be controlled by the Holy Ghost. He said, speak to yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. Listen, we ought to be happy. We know where we're going. Some 19, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, giving thanks always for things, all things. Even when you walk outside and the tire's flat, well, thank you, Lord. I ain't sure what you were holding up, and I may never know. Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves, here we go, one to another, in the fear of God. Oh, here it is, brother Chester. Here's your verse you want to hear. Now listen to Maria. Listen real close. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. I had to pick on her. We'll get into that again one day. Now go to 2 Timothy. That's in the T's. I know it. 2 Timothy chapter, what chapter I want? Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, here we are. We've been talking about the spiritual side. We moved over into Ephesians. It's talking about being watchful spiritual, but also in the secular world. We live here. Now notice what he says, chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times. In other words, that word is dangerous times. There's certain places it ain't safe for you to go. Especially at nighttime. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They are. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Children are disobedient to parents. I have seen children treat their parents ways that if I had have treated my mom and dad that way, I wouldn't have a tooth in my head except for the false teeth that took their place. I have seen children jump in their mom's face and their dad's. If it had been my son, he'd have false teeth today because I'd have knocked him out. Didn't have a problem with it. I'd pull off a belt and bust his butt. I don't care where we's at. I heard that. Same way with my two daughters. I've seen children. But it's getting worse now. You go down to Walmart and watch the children the way they treat their parents. Let me fix it for you. Just give me 5 minutes. I can fix that. And you can say, hey, I'll call Brother Jim. And they'll straighten right up because they don't want no more of that. But see, we've gotten soft. Oh, we can't spank them. Dr. Spock said not to. And that idiot didn't even raise a kid. What's he know? But see, we're in a time that is dangerous. We got moral problems I'll just use the United States. We got moral problems in the United States. But we not only got moral problems there as a whole, but we got moral problems in the homes. We got moral problems in the churches. We got moral problems, educational problems. They're more interested in teaching you whether you want to be a girl or a boy. It's up to you. Or an orange or whatever. Yeah, you know, you can identify as an orange if you want to. You know how stupid that is? And they get away with it, but if I want to identify as rich as Elon Musk, you got to let me in this nightclub. I'm as rich as Elon. I identify. They ain't going to let me in. No. False teachers. Now, back to the spiritual side, though. See, we got false teachers in the world. We got believers that's got spiritual problems. Some of these false teachers are believers. They've got off on the wrong track. They'll lead you away. But I'm going to be up front with you. It ain't really you adults they want. It's those right here. That's what they want. Uh-huh. That's what they're wanting. They want the kids. And they've done, I got to hand it to them, they've done a really good job. They have. They've convinced them that all of this woke stuff is okay. They've convinced them that, you see what they're after? They've convinced them of all this. Oh, we need to burn the American flag. Listen, if you had burned the American flag when I was a kid, and I know when my dad was a kid, somebody would have shot you. You wouldn't have to worry about burning one no more. You let me, I I'll probably go to jail for it, but you let me catch somebody burning the American flag, I'm going to hurt them. If I got to use a bat, because my dad taught me if they're too big, use a bat. Brick, whatever it takes. He said, you got to equal it. You know, I don't want to shoot them because they ain't worth the cost of the bullet. So I just use a rock that God provided. That's what Cain did. He didn't shoot nobody. But I have prayed before in my travels when I'm driving road trips that I did not come across a bunch of morons standing in the highway to block it. Because I'm going to drive up to them and I'm going to say, what y'all doing? And if they say, we're blocking the highway so you can't get through, I'm going to tell them, you got about 10 seconds to move or I will move you. And I'm going to back up, and then I'm going to put it in gear, and then I'm going to go. You can't stop a 3/4-ton pickup truck. That ain't going to happen. They blocked San Francisco Bridge the other day, and I got to hand it to California. I will give them a hand. The state troopers said, we will not tolerate you blocking highways anymore. And I'm like, okay, let's see if it happens again. But anyway, at least they did stand the ground there. You see, they're after our children. And that is the scary part. You see, our world, unfortunately, is in a great decline. And it's not going to come out. Not going to get any better. They may slow it down a little bit. And if we hang around and Trump actually runs it from prison or wherever, you know, which that's a joke. You ever seen such a joke? But anyway, listen, if they were doing Biden the way they're doing Trump, I'm not a Democrat, but I'd be mad at what they were doing. It's wrong. It's wrong what they're doing. Whether it be to a Democrat, a Republican, any of them, it is wrong. And they're just allowing this garbage to happen. Eh. But, you know, our country needs prayers, but it needs Christians that are willing to stand and be strong. But to be aware of the times. Now, I got one. Oh, no, I lied. Almost. No, I didn't either. I was close. We got a, but here's a good biblical example. One verse, and I'll give you a background real quick. Go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I thought this was awesome. And I read a bunch of it, but King David was in the process. He was going to be king of Israel, of course, Saul's problems and all of that. But it gets up here to chapter 12, and it talks about his special forces, his mighty men. And it talks about how they all came to David. Now, we're talking about people that were under King Saul. But the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob, all came to David, and David said, whoa. You guys for us? I'm going to paraphrase. You guys for us or against us? Well, they're all for him. Look what it says in verse 32 of chapter 12. And the children of Issachar, he was one of the 12 tribes, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You see, if you read about Issachar, they were farmers. They understood when you should plant. You don't want to plant in December. It ain't going to make it. You want to wait till right at the right time of spring, and you want to plant, and you got to know when the showers are going to come. You got to know what you need to do. And you don't even want to run out and harvest till the right timing. And they understood all that. But not only did they understand that, they started looking around, and they're like, wait a minute. Look at all of what's going on around us. Mm-hmm. We need to team up with David.
Yes.
We need to go back David. They understood the times. We have to understand the times and pay very close attention to our children, to ourselves. We need to pay close attention to what our children are watching, what they're hearing. We really need to, because there is nothing out there that is good for your kids or your grandkids. Nothing. There ain't none of it any good. All of it's got some underlying issue. If you want to, you can find it. But you got to want to find it. And how long's that been going on? Oh, just a few years. No, me and Elmo was talking the other day about Bugs Bunny. '60s.
Yep.
And there was underlying stuff that I never paid attention to it when I was a kid. I didn't know to. But that's what it was. Whatever they want their world to be, they focus on the little guys. Because guess what the little guys are going to do? They're going to grow up with that mindset. I was watching I got some stuff at the house because I like them old timey cartoons, because I don't know, they're still decent, but they've got some underlying problems. They implant in there what they want. They implanted racism. They implanted the World War II ones. When you watch them in the World War II ones. Everything, and I get what they were doing, but they wanted people to hate the Nazis. So what'd they do? They put all that in the little cartoons. Because they knew who's watching this. The children are. They didn't have a problem with the parents. The parents already didn't like it. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is you need to watch your kids and know what they're watching.
Amen.
Know what they're listening to.
Yes.
Because I've told people time and time again, what goes in here and what goes in here, it gets programmed in here.
Yes.
Now, you can overcome that. Mm-hmm. It'll always be there. But you can overcome it, because we can with the Lord's word.
Amen.
But it'll always be there, and it'll come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
All of that stuff comes back to haunt you at the worst time.
Yes.
So the little background of it was the tribes of David, and they joined up with him. And these guys understood the times that were around them. And there again, we need to be aware, because 1 Peter 5:8 says the devil is a roaring lion running around seeking whom he may devour. He is after every Christian out there, whether you be an adult or whether you be a young person, he's after you.
Amen.
We got to be aware of that. And don't just think, well, Philippians 1:6, you know, tells us that we get saved. The Lord didn't just say, okay, see you in heaven. No, he's working with us. You see, he's not just leaving us out there. We're not just here to fill space. We're not just here to look good. We're here to make a difference.
Yes. Yes.
You know why Israel was in so much trouble? Because they were not making the difference that they were supposed to be making.
Tell it.
We're supposed to be doing the same thing, making a difference in the world. And if we're going to do that, then we've got to understand what's around us, both spiritual and secular. We must understand what's going on.
Amen. Amen.
Do you see, we've got to, grandparents and parents ought to be aware of their spiritual condition and that of their children and grandchildren.
Amen.
Married people, we should be aware of the spiritual conditions of our spouse and our condition of the marriage, where its weakest spots are, because guess where Satan's going to attack? He ain't going to face you head on. Why you think he came to Eve? No offense, ladies, but he came to Eve because Eve's a weaker vessel. Why do you think salesmen come around to sell something when they know the husband's at work?
That's what they do.
They train them that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because nine out of 10 times, the husband's going to say, what? Get out of here. You know? They pick on women. They pick on the weaker vessels.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, if Satan can get a foot in the door and cause you trouble and destroy your home or destroy a church, that's what he's after. We have to be aware of these things. Now, I'm going to give us a verse, and every one of you, two verses, every one of you, including the young ones, and some of them may know it, these two, first two verses, you ought to learn all six of them. But I'm going to just do two of them. These are very, very important verses. Let's stand. Psalm 1:1 and Psalm 1:2. Those two verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Yes.
And in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Amen.
We ought to know these verses.
Yes.
And you may not know them word for word, but we need to know what they're saying.
Yes.
They are very important verses. And you ought to do that. You ought to take the time to get them in your head, because they're important verses. You see, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't get counsel from just anybody, especially secular people, lost folk. You ain't got no business asking them for counsel on anything, because they're going to lead you astray. You know, see if you can learn these verses. Let's all say verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, hang on. That ought to be our delight, is to read the Word of God. We ought to get delight out of this. We ought to get excited. I used to look at the Bible and say, I don't want to read all that. No, we ought to be excited to read it, because, trust me, you look for it, there's little nuggets all in these verses.
Amen.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we need help. All right, in unison, Sandy knows how to do this. Oh, I'm sure he does know it because I know whose class he's in. Psalm 1:1 and 1:2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you ought to try that. If you're not trying it already, you ought to try it. I believe the Lord will bless you for it. Amen.